getting to know our local area pastors. It's time for The Pastor's Perspective on KCIS.
This is Neil Trainer, pastor with Calvin Presbyterian Church in Shoreline. Calvin Church is committed to joining God's work in forming community, transforming lives, and reforming our world. We form community by caring for each other and by using our building as a community center to build bridges to our neighbors. We see lives transformed as we help people grow into who God meant them to be and as we partner with families in raising generations for Christ. And we reform our world specifically by serving the hungry and homeless in our city through an evangelistic outreach on community college campuses and with emerging leaders among the Khmer people of Cambodia. When my daughter was a little girl, she used to mix up the syllables and words. Butterfly became flutterby, a caterpillar was a calipitter, and a lawnmower was a mowlawner. And when I needed to go to my daughter and say, "I'm sorry," she'd reply, "I give for you." "I forgive you" became "I give for you." That sweet girl had stumbled onto something. Forgiveness requires us to give something for the person we forgive. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Forgiveness is something we give to others because it is something we have first received from our Lord. Specifically, when we forgive someone, we give four things that God has given us in Christ. First, when I forgive, I give you honesty with my hurt. When God forgives us, God does so out of a heart that has been pained. When we sin, we are not just breaking some abstract moral law. Our sins are the breaking of our relationship with God and with others too. In Genesis, before the flood, it says that when the Lord saw the wickedness of humankind, it grieved God to the heart. Forgiving is not minimizing. We don't ignore the hurt and hope it'll go away. Nor is forgiving catastrophizing. We don't make the hurt into something bigger than it really is to get attention for ourselves. Forgiveness gives an honest acknowledgement of hurt as we express our pain. When I forgive you, I also give you responsibility then for your wrong. While honesty focuses on me, responsibility focuses on you. It is actually a gift of love when I let you take responsibility for yourself. Some of us bypass this step and try a shortcut we think will get us quicker to the relief we yearn for. One shortcut is excusing. Excusing says, "It's okay, I forgive you." But if it's excusable, there's no need for forgiveness. Forgiveness says instead, "It's not okay, and so I forgive you. What you did was inexcusable, and you're responsible, so I must forgive you." Another shortcut we try is forgetting. "It happened, but I've forgotten it." But deep hurts can rarely be wiped out. The cliche, "Time heals all wounds," is really a myth. Time will never heal a wound. Only love can do that. Again, how the Lord forgives is instructive. If God could forgive by simply excusing or forgetting our sin, the cross would not have been necessary. But the Lord does not look past or excuse our sin. Instead, God gives us the gift of responsibility for our own wrongs, even as God genuinely forgives us. And that leads to the third gift of forgiveness. "I give for you mercy instead of revenge." "The Lord shows mercy and is kind," Psalm 103 says. "He has not punished us as our sins should be punished. He has not repaid us for the evil we have done." Revenge is repaying harm for harm done to us. It's Newtonian ethics. For every injury, there must be an equal and opposite injury. But revenge is an emotional mirage, a phantom oasis for the person thirsting for relief from pain and grief. Revenge just keeps the hurt alive. The hot coals of anger continue to simmer in our hearts, ready to flare up at a moment's notice. Forgiveness involves surrendering the passion and even the right to get even. Forgiveness is giving mercy instead of revenge. We don't give the other what they deserve. We don't repay evil with evil. When we forgive, we put the matter ultimately in God's hands and risk living with the scales imbalanced. Finally, in forgiveness, I also give you freedom from your debt. When the Lord forgives us, He frees us and cancels our debts. That's what the two New Testament words we translate to forgive literally mean: to let go or release, and to cancel a debt. That's what we must do too when we forgive. Sometimes the phrase, "I forgive you," can seem empty. Instead, think, pray, and even say to the other, "I release you. I let you go. I let go of this offense. I cancel your debt. You owe me nothing now." And a wonderful thing happens when I give you freedom from your debt. I also give you your personhood back. We tend to draw caricatures of offenders in our mind. We exaggerate their features and distort them until we identify them with their offense. You become the person who hurt me. Forgiveness demands that we separate the wrong from the wrongdoer. Instead, we see the other person as God sees them. When we give forgiveness, we see the other person as a complex, weak, confused, self-centered, fragile person, a person needing God's grace and forgiveness, a person just like we are.
You've been listening to Pastor Neil Traynor of Calvin Presbyterian Church in Shoreline. To find out more about the church, visit them online at calvinpc.org.
To get involved with the Pastor's Perspective feature on KCIS, you can call our front desk at 206-546-7350. You can also find out more information and listen to previous perspectives at kcisradio.com.